Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your desire to be active in our lives. As we open your word, open our hearts, open our minds, let the words that are spoken be yours and give us ears to hear, that we might be drawn deeper and closer into you. That your word would leap off the page and spring into our hearts, that we would know you more. Father, we give you this time, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. What does first mean to you? What does first mean? The song said, I want you first. Looking at God, singing to God, I want you first. What is that? I think about those two songs, Trust and Obey, and I Surrender All. They clearly convey what God expects from you and I. You see, because as those two songs have been sung thousands of times at the end of worship services like this, where people have walked the aisle, they've given life to Christ. That is just the beginning, because being a disciple of Christ is much more than walking an aisle. It's much more than praying a prayer of salvation. Those things are just merely the beginning, and those two songs describe what God wants from us. He desires that we trust Him and obey Him, and that we surrender all. All is all. Everything. Nothing left. It's all His. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. I want to show you something remarkable about this journey with the God of the universe. Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 16 and 17. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. If you point and click, you can change your versions and follow along. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Verse 17. Then Christ will make His home in your heart as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow deep into God's love and keep you strong. Here's the thought. Because of the Holy Spirit, God comes in to each one of our hearts and resides there. This is a concept that can be hard to get your brain around, honestly. For me, in the late 80s, I was working in a Christian bookstore finishing my bachelor's degree. And I came across a little booklet called My Heart, Christ, Home. It's from the 50s. It had been redone in the 80s. And I read this just little short pamphlet, and the profound effect that it has had on my life continues today. Because it illustrates what this passage of Scripture is trying to say to you and I. God the creator of the heavens and the earth, the magnificent, unending, unrivaled God wants to live in you. Holy cow. Over the next few weeks, we're going to journey through this little pamphlet, because what it does is goes by room by room in your heart and takes a look at God dwelling there. If you stay all the way to the end, I'm going to give you one of these, but you got to stay all the way to the end. I want to share with you the opening segment. I'm going to try this. Somebody may have to bail me out, but I put both contacts in this morning, which means I can't read. So, bear with me. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul writes these words, that God may grant to you be strengthened with might through His Holy Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. That's what I just read. Ephesians 3:16 and 17. Another translation states that Christ may settle down and be at home in your heart. That's something we can understand, settling down into a home. Without question, one of the most remarkable Christian doctrines is that Jesus Christ Himself, through the Holy Spirit, will actually enter our heart, settle down, and be at home there. Just let that sink in. Christ will live in any human heart that welcomes Him. He said to His disciples, "If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. But he is also telling them that he was soon to leave them. It was difficult for them to understand this. What was he saying? How could it be possible for him to both live in them, leave them, and make their home in them at the same time?" It is interesting that Jesus uses a similar concept here. Home. It's something you and I can relate to. They're fond memories for us of our home. That's where we're settled. It's where we have our stuff. Some of you got too much stuff, but that's another sermon. It is interesting that Jesus uses the concept here, home, that he uses earlier in John 14. "I go to prepare a place for you. There where I am, you may also be." He promises that just as he's going to heaven to prepare a place for them, that he would one day welcome them there, so it would be possible for them to prepare a place for him in their hearts now. He would come and make his home with them right here. It was beyond comprehension. How could this be? Then came Pentecost. The Holy Spirit of the living Christ was given to the church, and they experienced what he had foretold. Now they understood God did not dwell in Herod's temple in Jerusalem, nor in any temple made by hands. Now, through the miracle of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he would dwell in human hearts. You're the temple. If you've accepted Christ, you're the temple. That's where He dwells. The body of the believer had become the temple of the living God, and human hearts, the home of Jesus Christ. 30 minutes after Pentecost, the disciples knew more about Jesus than they had known in the 3 years previous. It is difficult for me to think at a higher privilege than to make Christ home in my heart. Think about that. What a privilege. To welcome, to serve, to please, to know Him there. I will never forget the evening I invited Him into my heart. What an entrance He made. It was not spectacular, emotional, but very real. Occurring at the very center of my soul, He came in to the darkness of my heart and turned on the light. He built a fire in a cold heart, banished the chill. He started music where there had been silence, and harmony where there had been discourse. He filled the emptiness of His own loving fellowship. I have never regretted opening the door to Christ, and I never will. This, of course, is the first step in making the heart Christ home. He has said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will welcome him and eat with him and be with him." If you wanted to know the reality of Christ and the personal presence of Jesus Christ at the innermost part of your being, simply open wide the door of your heart and ask Him to come in and be your Savior. As Christ entered my heart, in the joy of the newfound relationship, I said to Him, "Lord, I want this heart of mine to be Yours. I want You to settle down here, to be fully at home. I want You to use this as Your own. Let me show You around and point out some of the features of the home so that You may be comfortable. I want You to enjoy our time together." He was glad to come in and seemed delighted to be given a place in an ordinary heart. Imagine, if you will, Christ coming in and making His home in your heart. I want to see if I can illustrate this a little better for you. 25 years ago, Missy and I were new homeowners, and we were sitting at the kitchen table one Saturday morning, and I noticed her, she kept looking over my shoulder. And I'm like, "What are you looking at?" And there was wallpaper all over our kitchen, looked something like this. That was popular some time ago. Some of y'all might have it in your kitchen today. But I said, "What are you looking at?" And, you know, if you ever had wallpaper, if it stays up there long enough, at the seams it'll start turning loose of the wall. And she kept looking at it, and she said, "I hate that wallpaper." I made a foolish comment. I said, well, let's take it down. She reached up there and grabbed a hold of that and ripped it down and came up with a piece about this size. At that point in my life, I honestly knew nothing about home improvement. But for the last 25 years, I have never stopped improving whatever house we were living in. A piece of wallpaper like this changed the course of my life. Oh, my word. It was just the beginning. And through the last 25 years, we have owned a number of homes. We have never owned one that we didn't remodel. And over the course of 25 years, we've gotten good at it. To the point where we move walls. We had one house, we tore it completely down to the studs on the inside, ran new electrical, new plumbing, built it from the bottom up. It all started from that silly piece of wallpaper. Through the years, we've helped a number of friends remodel their houses, partially because I'm so cheap that when you see what people want to do, whatever it is you want to be done, it's insane. And not being able to afford it, we just learned how to do it. It can't be that hard, right? Can't be that hard. A number of years ago, we bought this latest house. It's an old farmhouse. I told you sometime back that we were remodeling the kitchen. Turn these lights out up here. This is what it looked like when we started. And then because of this silly piece of wallpaper, who empowered my wife to think we can do anything, we turned it into this. Now, here's the thing, okay? Every house that we've bought, we've done something, most of the time, to the entire house. We took it from, go back, let's compare again. We took it from that to this. The reason we did that is because that's what we want. We have never bought that we made the agreement with the owners that you have to leave it like it is. Okay? Are you following my point here? Go back. If you could have that or this, most of the time you're going to pick that. What God wants to do in your heart is take it from that to this. But if you won't let Him, because you say, this is my house, this is my heart, I'm not going to change, I'm not going to be obedient, I'm not going to surrender every room, then you're stuck where you were. So like I say, we've never bought a house and agreed to leave it as it was. In fact, if that was part of the agreement, we would move on to another house. God never made the same agreement with anybody, ever. Do you hear me? He's never made that agreement, ever. To look at the heart of a sinner and say, I'll take it, but I'm going to leave it just like it is. He won't make that agreement. Turn with me to John 14. John 14. I'm going to start reading at verse 15. John 14, verse 15. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, obey my commandments. If you love me. Part of being a disciple of Christ, at the very foundation, the number one rule, God says, love me. So he's saying here, if you're one of my followers, if you've accepted me, if you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. He leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him, but it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you who know him, because he lives with you now and later will be in you, he lives with you. The moment that you accept him, that you say, I want to be a follower of Christ, that you give him your heart, he lives with you. I can promise you, he's going to do more than tear an old piece of wallpaper down in your heart. I can promise you that. Because he's not going to live in a house that he hadn't got to remodel. Look at verse 20. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Those who accept my commandments will obey them, and obey them are the ones who love me. So let's make the circle here. You and I cannot have Christ live in our hearts, be at home there, if he's not in control. If we have not surrendered all and willing to trust and obey, then we're living in an old house. Verse 23 says, Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and he will come and make a home in each of them. When God comes into your heart will never look the same. It will be changed. And you know from like living in your house, things change. You update them. You make them more useful. That's what God's doing to your heart when we let him. I'm reminded of a story about a young man. He was in college, and he decided one morning to go to the First Baptist Church anywhere. He walked in the back door. Every pew he could see from the back was full. And so he just kept walking forward. The service had already started. He just kept walking. He got all the way to the front, and there was nowhere to sit. So he just sat down on the floor. If you've ever been into First Baptist Church anywhere, they were dressed to the heel, and this young man was wearing shorts and flip-flops, and he's sitting on the floor. From the very back pew, their oldest deacon, he was well into his 80s, stood up and with his cane started making his way down the aisle. There were the, he's going to take care of this. We can't have this here. What in the world? It took him a minute. He was in his 80s. He made his all the way down to where the young man was sitting on the floor. And it took even longer to do what he did next. The preacher got up and he said, "You will never remember what I'm going to preach today. But what you saw, you will never forget." When Christ comes into your heart and He changes it, He makes you something that you cannot imagine. Because you see, you are the only Bible some people will ever read. You're the only Bible some people will ever read. And when you show Jesus, you magnify Him. Stand with me and let's pray. Father, we thank You for loving us enough to desiring to come into our hearts and make a home there. Father, I pray for each one of us in this room. I pray that we have made that decision to come and allow You in, to open the doors and invite You into our hearts. If there's one in this room that hasn't, Lord, I pray for them. I pray that You would speak to their hearts and move them to do that now. For us who have done that, Lord, I pray that You remind us that You don't come into hearts that You can't remodel. Help us to surrender all and be willing to trust and obey. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Sing with us. Thank you so much for being here. I pray that you'll come back and take this journey. We're going room by room to see how God can remodel us and make us more of what He wants us to be. I pray as you go out those doors, remember, you're the only Bible some people will ever read. Pray with me. Lord, take us from this room and use us to glorify you. Let us be a walking, living truth of your love. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.